Okay. Quote number two. How do we know that Hashem doesn't reject communal prayer? It is written, behold, God, might he does not reject. And apparently it was understood by the Gemara that the word might means a significant number of Jews that creates a congregation, group of people, a demonstration. They come and make a request. Hashem doesn't reject that. Similarly, it is written, you have redeemed me from my foes because there were many with me. You redeemed me from my problems because there were many with me. When were there many with you? When I prayed for salvation, there were many with me. And therefore, you redeemed me.
Who is this talking?
David.
Okay.
Psalms. Tehillim. This quote is different than the previous one, even though they're linked. The first quote had to do with very practical things. I shall be sanctified. If you want to sanctify Hashem, so in the midst means congregation, and congregation means 10. If you want to sanctify God, you need 10 men. The second quote is not talking about sanctification. It's talking about making a request that you don't want to be rejected. And the Talmud, in quote number two, is telling us that if you are together with a minyan, then on a certain level, Hashem will not reject it. There's a certain power to communal prayer that Hashem accepts it. There's a beautiful story they use as an analogy of a college professor who makes an announcement and says that on the final test, no one will be allowed to hand the paper in late. I'm giving out the final. You're going to have 2 hours to do it. You better hand it in on time. He gives out the test. And of course, most people squeeze themselves, make sure to hand it in on time. He announces there are 10 minutes left to the test. There are 5 minutes left to the test. And sure enough, there's one kid who, all papers in, and he's busy furiously scribbling his answers and putting his finishing touches on his paper. The professor stacks the papers all together, and, you know, no more papers. And this young man finishes. Guy comes up to the desk and says, I'd like to hand in my paper. And the professor says, I was very clear. There are no exceptions. I made an announcement. I'm going to enforce it. No papers may be handed in late. So the young man looks at the professor in the eye and he says, do you know who I am? He says, I don't know who you are and I really don't care. Do you know who my father is? He says, I don't and I really don't care. There are no exceptions. Well, if you don't know who I am, and you don't know who my father is, and he lifts the paper up and shoves his paper right into the middle of the stack, then I'm handing my paper in. Serves a teacher right for not knowing the names of their students. That's the concept of handing in a prayer as part of a congregation. I'm part of it. I'm in the stack. And Hashem says, I'm not going to look, you know, your name on your paper if you're really worthy. I'm taking the whole stack, it was handed in together, and I'll review the papers, and I'll approve as much as I can. Well, different attitude if it's communal, if you're part of a group.
Hashem supposed to know who we are, you know.
So Hashem does, but he chooses this attitude as communal, just like anyone. You know, you could look at a group And you could say, you know, basically they're a good group of guys, I'm going to approve it. Or you could look at each individual and question, there are always some people in the group who may not be justified in whatever approval you're going to give. So Hashem says, when it's communal, I'm willing to take the stack.
Do they all have to be asking for the same thing?
No. Generally, Hashem's attitude to communal is different. You're part of a group.
And you would be judged equally with anybody else?
It's never equal, but it's a different attitude. Hashem is accepting. Hashem will accept the paper. Obviously, you know, these are not tricks. A person can't be a sinner all day long and then daven with a minion. Although it wouldn't hurt, because davening with a minion might straighten him out. But these are not foolproof, but they are perspectives in the power of communal prayer. You're part of a group. You're part of a group. You're treated differently. Okay. So that's the second idea in the power of communal prayer. Number one, again, is there certain things you simply can't say unless there's a minyan. Number two is that if there's a minyan, there's a certain power to that, that Hashem is more willing and ready to accept the prayer. Let's look at number three. One may pray in any language that he understands. Meaning, you can't pray in French if you don't understand French. But any language, you're entitled to pray as long as you know what you're saying. This is true in communal prayer. But privately, there's one restriction. You can't pray in Aramaic. I realize that this really, you know, is a downer for most of you, since you were proficient in Aramaic, and now you found out that when you're praying privately, you can't use it. I didn't consider this a practical quote for the first part of the quote. Take a look at the second part of the quote. This is because communal prayer goes straight to Hashem. There's a typo. While private prayer goes through the angels. And they don't like to deal with Aramaic.
Why not?
The reason they don't like Aramaic is because it's so similar to Hebrew, but lacks its finesse. So it's like an imposter. They don't like it. What insight do you get from this? Communal prayer goes straight to Hashem, and Hashem doesn't object to the Aramaic. It's the angels. On their level, they object to the Aramaic. It rubs them the wrong way. And when you're praying privately, that's our expression, on wings of angels, that there are conduits, there are spiritual forces that are going to be the conduits, the pipes, to bring your prayers to Hashem. It doesn't go straight. So those energies object to Aramaic. And therefore, don't use Aramaic in a private prayer. And therefore, indeed, when you're praying by yourself, there's certain prayers in Aramaic, Baruch Shemei, Yukum Purkan, we don't say when we're praying by ourselves. Kaddish, anyway, we didn't say by ourselves because it needs, just because it's sanctification, it needs a minyan. But that also, it would be Aramaic, and we wouldn't have been saying it anyway without the minyan. But the insight is that in practical effectiveness of your prayer, communal prayer goes straight, and private prayer has to do a little walking before it gets there. Let's move on to the section of perspectives. I have a little anecdote here, which I thought was really beautiful, and I quote it in number 4. Rav Yitzchak asked Rav Nachman, why didn't you come to synagogue to pray? Rav Nachman answered, I was too weak. Rav Yitzchak asked, so why didn't you gather a minyan where you were? Rav Nachman answered, it was too difficult to do so. Rav Yitzchak asked, so why didn't you ask that someone should notify you when the communal prayers began? the inference being, and you would pray specifically at that time. Rav Nachman asked, what is concerning you? What are you after? Rav Yitzchak explained. The verse states, may my prayer come before Hashem at a favorable time. Va'ani sefilasi l'cha Hashem es ratzon. It should come at a favorable time. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai taught, when is a favorable time? When the public is praying. So there are different levels. If you could pray in the synagogue with the minyan, that's the best. Otherwise, I ask you, why didn't you get 10 people to join together in your home? And if you tell me you couldn't pull that off, so why didn't you at the very least cash in on this idea that it's a favorable time when the public is praying? And you should pray at that time too. Tremendous lesson. And that, by the way, is recorded in Shulchan Aruch, that if for whatever reason a person can't get out of his home to go to Minyan, if January is a big storm, and you're laid up, God forbid, with the flu, but if you know what time they're praying, and you're able to do it, you should pray at the same time that they're praying in the synagogue.
So if you're on the speakerphone and you can hear the congregation davening,
so
you cannot join and say Kaddish with them.
Right. So let's be careful. If a person wants to do, let's say you have a person in a nursing home, homebound, whatever, and they want to use this methodology somehow. So you have to be careful. If they're under the illusion that suddenly they're connecting on a very real halachic level, so then you have to clarify to them that that's not true. They can't say Kaddish at the phone and think that there's a minyan there. That's not true. But if they want to join on the level of when is a favorable time, when the public is davening, so then they're right on target. There's no better way to know that the public is davening than to actually hear them on the phone and hear as they complete the Shema and know that now it's going to be time to recite Shemona Esrei. Instead of looking at the clock and saying, probably at 7:10, they'll probably be at the right time. So like this, you're connected. It's great to be connected. But you have to know what you're connecting and what you're not connecting. It's not halachically a minyan, but it is a favorable time.
What happens if you're gathered, you're expecting a minyan, and it's Monday, and it's time to read Torah, and someone doesn't come because they're sick, or what do you do?
It's a very real question.
You get on the phone.
Then many get on the phone.
You get on the phone and you try.
Usually
and
sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah, and sometimes not.
So do you forego the prayers?
You're not. So we're dealing right now with halacha. And the halacha is very clear. If there's a minyan, you can do it. If there's no minyan, you can't do it. After you have the halacha clear, then you can try to be practical about it. Should we stop making calls? Is there enough time to make calls? By the time you make the calls, someone's going to have to leave. It's already getting late, etc. But first, the halacha, it's very clear. Certain prayers can be recited with a minyan only, and certain prayers you recite either way. We'll discuss later what to do if there are tight situations on a minyan. Linked to your comment just now, what happens if there's no minyan and you have to sit there calling people, is quote number 5. Rish Lakish said, anyone who has a synagogue in town and does not frequent it is called a bad neighbor. What does it mean, a bad neighbor? So firstly, we're trying to put together a minyan and you're not bothering to rearrange your schedule. We're struggling. We invite you. It doesn't make any difference to you. So that's a bad neighbor. I need help. And the second thing is for you yourself. Something good is happening in town, and you're depriving yourself. So even if the shul does have a minyan, he's still called a bad neighbor. So why don't you show up? If your friend had a housewarming and he invited you, you wouldn't show up. You don't show up. That's called being a bad neighbor. I'm not joining in your joy. I refuse. That's a bad neighbor. So that's Rish Lakish's comment. It doesn't mean specifically a guy's already a bad neighbor the minute he misses once. But if a person ignores, just doesn't make a difference. So according to our tradition, a minyan is such a dynamic thing, and a minyan is not just for Shabbos, it's for all week. It's so dynamic that a person would be defined as a bad neighbor if he knows that and doesn't get his act together. Yeah.
Does it make a difference? Is it 10 or 20 or 100 people? And so, if that's the case, then just get 10. Good enough. We just have a cutoff and that's it. But that's kind of put people in a position like, oh, well, they have 10 people, you know.
So let's clarify again. There are two levels of being a bad neighbor. One is that they don't have 10, and the other is they do have 10. If they don't have 10, it's much more blatant. They don't have 10. They want you to join. You don't join. It's a bad neighbor. We're asking you for help. My point is, a guy is a bad neighbor even if they do have 10 and he refuses to show. Because if a guy was doing a housewarming and he invited you, something special is happening. Hashem comes every morning, every afternoon, every night, and he's interested in hearing from your prayers. And you, without a good reason, not interested. I decline your invitation. Can you imagine? God will be visiting my home tomorrow morning at 6:45. You're invited. I'm busy. God! I'm busy. That's called a bad neighbor. In the Talmud's definition, that's called a bad neighbor.